once you've drawn a penis and balls, you can't really turn it into anything else. Maybe a dragon?
Maybe a cannon.
A mushroom? Oh, a cannon. Like an old, school. You can be like, no, this thing coming out of the tip is a cannonball. Yeah. No, it still looks bad. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I'm kicking this off with Bateman News.
All right.
So Jason Bateman is an actor that we've been saying we respect.
Yes, because he's decent. We're not in love with him, and we're not sexually attracted to him.
Not at all. But he's a decent guy out there. Now he's in the Academy. He's blowing up big style with this Bad Words.
Bad Words.
Bad Words. Movie. Everyone's loving it. But I just have a little piece of Bateman News, and I wanted to report that. Because we already talked about how Growing Up Fisher, there's a new comedy on, they're saying it's a comedy, on NBC. It's about a blind man and his family. Uh-huh. And it's narrated from the point of view of the son. And Jason Bateman is the narrator.
Yes.
So
the son is young in the show, and yet he's old when he's narrating it.
Yeah.
We've never seen that
before. I don't, it's kind of like a, you know, How I Met Your, no, it's not. It's not like that at all. No, anyway, there's
like
narration.
It's like, you know, Wonder Years.
Yeah.
This old house with a...
And
the
I saw clips from it, and I was like, because the whole gag, I guess, is that this guy is blind. But as we reported earlier, we don't really care.
Yeah,
he's like a very wealthy white guy with a much younger wife
and a can-do attitude.
It's like, okay,
what's
fine
wrong with that?
He's blind. So Jason Bateman has come aboard to narrate Lego documentary. They're calling it a brick-umentary.
Oh,
called Beyond the Brick. A Lego Brickumentary.
Oh,
I should be narrating this. Look at me. It's going to make its debut at the Tribeca Film Festival, to which I have to say, yes, why? I thought Tribeca was about something different. In any case.
Not anymore.
So it's from the Oscar-winning director Daniel Jung, who did Saving Face, and Oscar-nominated helmer Keith Davidson, never heard of him, who did Open Heart. It's the first official Lego documentary. Are there going to be more? What about, we've been working on a rogue Lego. You know the Bobo ones? You ever see when you're a kid, you have a bunch of Legos, and you have one that you're like, this looks slightly off. Doesn't say Lego.
The protrusions are off in size.
It doesn't exactly fit, but you make it fit anyway with a pencil.
Yeah, you turn it a little bit.
You turn it a little bit. That's going to be our documentary. Bobo Legos. A mock-brickumentary.
Discount Legos.
Discount Legos. Bateman recently starred and directed Bad Words and also pulls narrator duty on the NBC sitcom Growing Up Fisher. They're going to be, so Submarine, the company, is repping domestic sales, and it's going to premiere April 20th.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's coming up.
It's coming up soon.
Yeah.
So, you know, once again, this might be another thing that we don't see that Jason Bateman has done.
Oh, God.
And once again, I wish it were narrated by his friend.
Oh, Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, so that it would just shut down production before it got
anywhere. And we like a Will Arnett, too. But it's too bad.
Interesting about Lego, apparently they were almost about to close down.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing all these things, like Legoland. Like they had Lego watches for a while. They were trying to be a lifestyle brand. And then somebody was like, yo, hold on. Like, we just make little bricks for kids.
Yeah.
And now they're huge and
they're
probably
back,
very expensive.
Yeah, it's kind of a statement if you're working with Legos now.
Yeah. The kids are like, what's he working with?
No, I like, you know what I like is
Lincoln Logs.
Lincoln Logs.
Yes.
I love the Lincoln Logs. That was
Kinects. Do you remember those?
Lincoln Logs were rugged.
Kinects were like the nerd version of the thing. So you could make things and then you could somehow hook them up with electricity and make them move around, which I thought was interesting as well.
I never saw those.
I think I probably still have my Legos from when I was a kid. And I just remember being very anal retentive as I am, being very annoyed that we didn't just get more matching colors.
Oh.
Because you would buy another set and you're like, this is still brown.
Yeah.
However... this is more of a, you know, of a light brown.
This is a yellow house.
Yeah, so this one is red, and this is clearly magenta. And so that is
different dye lots. That's where they're coming from, different dye lots, too.
Yes.
So the reds aren't going to exactly
match. Yeah, it doesn't match up. And I had one clear one to make a window. I remember that. I was very excited about it. Otherwise, breeze would just come in. And that is my Bateman News.
That's very nice.
Yes.
Way to go.
A brickumentary.
Okay, I have here for our segment, Hey You Didn't Know It.
Okay. Oh, we haven't had this in a while. This is Hey You Didn't Know It is a segment that we seldom do, but when we do it, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's news of the oblivious living among us, of which there are many. So, Katie, what do you have?
Get ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
From Medical Daily.
Oh, no.
And the title is...
Did someone stick something in something or couldn't get it out?
No, the title is...
Drum roll.
The title is, Sitting Too Much Expands Your Butt, Creates Larger Backside. Can...
Really?
Can cellular expansion lead to obesity?
I mean, how much sitting are we doing here? How big was the aforementioned butt to begin with?
Right. This is just a very recent article. Sitting is not good for our health, and most of us know that.
Okay, yeah.
Again, underscore. This is double. Hey, didn't know it.
Yes. They keep telling us it's bad for us.
The modern lifestyle of laptops, tablets, and flat-screen TVs have made it inevitable to be under the long spells of sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Really? Do you know what else is really bad for you? Just being on the ground all the time.
Yeah.
That didn't work out too well, and that's why they came up with the chair.
Yeah, a new study published by the Biophysical Journal has found sitting too much not only expands your buttocks, creating a larger, rounder backside, but it can also promote obesity due to cellular expansion.
Well, I don't know. I have to say I like big butts, and I cannot lie. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, people are doing all kinds of things nowadays to get a bigger, firmer butt, and then apparently they could just be sitting.
Yeah.
And then working out a little bit after.
And then it goes on about one-third of the adults and one...
I think you say one-third of all butts is caused by sitting. A third of your butt is from working in an office. So...
Basically.
Don't blame yourself for not getting out there. Blame
your chairs.
Yeah. Chairs. Yeah. We should burn chairs so it never happens again.
You know what I actually saw? Did you ever... You know, people have talked about putting, like, your desk... Hooking it up to a treadmill.
Yeah,
so you can walk.
You said you saw those.
I did see it. It was terrible.
Did they also have nodes on the temples of the person, or were they? It was kind of like the Matrix.
No, but there were sensors for your hands. So.
You know, when Skynet's activated, that's what it's going to be, because they're not going to let us sit around getting big butts.
No, they're going to need to draw from our energy reserves.
Yeah.
Talking about the obesity epidemic may be just more than what we eat, but how much we sit.
No, it's not. It's really not. You really would have to sit a lot.
Yeah, it's not calories and food.
And eat while you
more,
sit.
Right.
I think that's the problem is that people are eating as they sit. It's hard to eat when you're walking.
And says, research led them to find that static seating.
Oh, no. Musical chairs at the office. I get to see a bell rings every 15 minutes. You just send a dash to someone else's cube.
Yeah.
And work from there.
Static seating allows fat cells to grow and the cells to disappear.
Okay.
Static seating. You know, I can't static seat at my desk anymore.
Yes. I mean, actually, I have bought a ball to sit on, and they'll probably find 20 years from now that causes some other problem.
Oh, yeah.
Like big boobs or something.
Yeah.
I had an A cup last week.
Hatman, what's happening?
What's going on? My butt is tiny.
Have you changed anything? No.
I've lost a third of my butt, but I can't see my feet when I look down because of these bazongas.
So it goes on, this article goes on to repeat in a variety of ways how it's not nutrition, but the sitting that makes your butt big.
It's nutrition.
Yeah, it's nutrition.
It's nutrition.
And the lack of exercise in
general.
Yes,
Like,
just go to the gym.
It can be, or just take a walk. Like, you just walk to the gym. Don't go in and walk back. You've done something.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, hey, you didn't know it?
Wow. Well, I'd like to, I'm going to, we talked a little bit about a brickumentary. I want to bring in something here. I will call this a dickumentary.
Okay.
Hashtag penis news, everyone.
Oh.
Katie's favorite segment.
Of course.
So this comes from Australia, from Southern Australia. It says, cricketer Daniel Worrell suspended for scratching image of penis and testicles into pitch. So he was, it says here, ball tampering. Taken to a whole new level. Mm-hmm. So this guy is a cricket player, and the pitch is the name of the ball
field
for cricket.
I love that.
And apparently, before he came up to bat, he was just screwing around, and with his foot, he scratched into the dirt a gigantic penis and testicles.
Well, he had the time.
Yes, he was just working it out, you know. Apparently, he drew the ire of his colleagues, and the SA Cricket's high performance manager, Jamie Cox,
took a
dim view of his actions. He said, "We're extremely disappointed in Daniel's actions. It's not the in line with the behavior we expect of a Redbacks player."
And then the what do they expect? The high standards of a Redback player.
The penalty was imposed by the referee, one Daryl Cox. Can you believe this? It's dick news. I mean...
It's just riddled.
It's riddled with penises. Yeah. It's just so bizarre to me. I imagine he probably wasn't even paying attention. You know what I mean? It's like when you're a kid and you're drawing something, you're like, oh, fuck, boobs.
Yeah.
What can I do? How can I make this into something else? Now it's eyeballs.
Yeah.
But it was too... Like, once you've drawn a penis and balls, and you can't really turn it into anything else. Ooh. Maybe a dragon?
Maybe a cannon.
A mushroom? Oh, a cannon. Like an old... Like an old school. You could be like, no, this thing coming out of the tip is a cannonball. Yeah. No, it still looks bad.
Yeah. Like, you draw the general next to it with a sword raised. Like, go. Oh.
That still probably looks bad. It just looks like a general next to a gigantic penis. You're suspended. Daryl Cox says you're out. Jamie Cox says you're out. You know.
Everybody.
So he's going to lose either 2 4-day matches or 4 1-day matches. For this penis that he drew. Is it that big of a deal? Could he have just scratched it back out with his foot? What?
Yeah.
Like, were they like, stop, step away. And there was a picture of it as well.
It wouldn't have been great if his friend had his back and was like, no, when he ran and threw himself on it and it smeared it.
Yes. Desecration of the pitch. It's so bizarre. So a hashtag penis news. People do not draw penises anywhere, basically. Right. Unless you're a modern artist.
That's right.
In Norway. And then anything you draw a penis on will be in their museum.
Yeah.
30% of all the things I saw there in museums were penises. So what do you have? Oh, listener mail.
Listener mail here. This is an email that we got from
SEB. SEB is the best. SEB is up to her eyeballs in shot glasses. But if you send us an email or you give us a 5-star review on iTunes... we will send you an official Hey You Know What shot glass if you're in charge.
Yeah, and they're going fast.
Yeah, they are going fast.
Okay, so thank you so much, SEB. All right, here it is. Oregon couple attacked by cat plans to get it help. So the email
Say that again, please.
This is the subject of the email.
Okay.
Oregon couple attacked by cat plans to get it help.
Okay.
Okay, the email says, hello, first ladies.
Hi. What's up? Hey. The Michelle Obama and...
Hillary Clinton.
Yes. I'm podcasting.
Right. This is not advice on advice, but the couple could use some advice. Okay. Love the show, and Tyrannosaurus Rex is a great episode.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The family issue caused a big discussion with my friends.
To know her friends, because they seem like they have some kick-ass discussions about things.
So then here's a link to this article.
Okay.
And I don't know if anyone has read this, but yes, there was a couple that was attacked by their cat. And they want to get it
out. It's their own cat.
It's their own cat.
Mm-hmm.
The Portland police...
I'm going to file this one on more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's where I'd go.
The Oregon owners of a 22-pound house cat that...
Good grief! Yeah. Our dog was 15 pounds. Yeah, are you kidding me?
Oh, Curtis, your
22
dog.
Pounds?
Yeah, 22-pound house cat that trapped them in their bedroom after attacking their baby said they're not giving up on their pet. They're getting it medical attention and therapy.
Stop. Wait a minute. They need medical attention and therapy. It attacked their baby?
Their baby.
Was their baby less than 22 pounds? Like, was this a fair fight? Is that why they, like, the baby was 25 pounds and they just let it roll? Like, what the hell? Get rid of the cat. They want to get the cat help.
Yeah.
Okay.
2 days after police arrived to subdue the 4-year-old part Himalayan cat.
I'm sorry, police had to subdue the cat.
Yeah.
I hope they just punted it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the subduing.
I know. The owner, Lee Palmer of Portland, said he's taking the feline to the veterinarian, a pet psychologist.
To get it put down?
No.
What?
To get it just checked out. A pet psychologist is also due at the house to see the cat named Lux. Okay. We're not getting rid of him right now, Palmer said. He's been part of our family for a long time.
And this baby just got here, so, you know, seniority counts for something.
Yeah.
It's a union household. But we don't even know this baby. He hasn't said anything. Hasn't filed a formal complaint agreement. It's nothing, yeah. What's he do? Just eats all the time. Hasn't caught a single mouse, this baby. Lux, meanwhile.
And he had it coming to him, because apparently Palmer said the animal attacked his 7-month-old child after the baby pulled its tail.
What was he doing over by the baby?
Yeah, the child suffered a few scratches on the forehead. On the 911 call, Palmer tells the dispatcher that he kicked the cat.
So wait a minute. And the police actually showed up.
Yeah. Because this is what happened.
He says, there's nothing going on in Oregon.
911 says he kicked the cat in the rear to protect his child. Palmer
the cat
says,
didn't feel a thing. The cat was like, huh? Brother, please.
Palmer said the animal then just went over the edge.
Speak to the paw. I'm not doing this.
Yeah. Leading Palmer and his girlfriend to barricade themselves and their baby and the family dog in the bedroom for safety.
They say that, but that baby was probably still out there fending for his damn self. They're in there with the dog and just like...
They're like, baby, cover your eyes.
It's the baby, not us, that he wants.
The cat could be heard scratching in the background of the call, as Palmer says in a panicked voice.
Really?
He's charging us. He's at our bedroom door.
He's charging us.
Palmer also tells the dispatcher the cat has also been violent in the past.
Okay. Right. It has a history.
Officers used a dog snare to capture the animal. Insult to injury.
Yes. Now this cat is just going to be, he's saving it all up.
This cat's like, are these MFs?
Yes.
First of all.
Yeah, I'm going to sit in therapy. I'm going to meow just like everything's cool. When I get home, it's going to be you and me, baby. You and me. And then I'm coming after that dog. And that girlfriend, who's that?
Palmer said the family had proposals from people wanting to adopt the cat, but they're not doing it.
So, I'm sorry, why would you want that cat? Oh, someone who doesn't like babies. Like, I got a baby, and I'm not fond of it. Bring, there's mousers, and then there's these cats.
You know, there's these other people going, oh, this Palmer here is like, we know that there's something else going on in
that
house.
Yeah, it ain't the cat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. So... Yeah. I guess there's been discussions all around. So what would you do if your cat
scratched my baby? Or any baby? Kick it out.
Yeah. Even if it was the baby's fault for pulling its tail.
Like, I mean, when the guy kicked the cat, he should have just kicked it to the curb. Right. Or like, he should have just kept kicking it. That to me is just, no, you can't have that. Because I've you know, been around animals my whole life. And I've known people that have babies and animals, mm-hmm. and there's some animals that are down with babies, and there's some animals who are just like, F a baby.
Yeah.
And don't care.
And this is one of them.
This is one of them. And he let it be known.
Yeah, this is another thing to do. Don't have a cat or a baby. Have a plant.
A plant if you're a Palmer. Yes. If you don't know what to do. Because I don't think there's any plant therapy yet.
No.
Yes.
I do feel a little bad when I don't water it.
But that's for you. That's your issue.
Yeah.
It sounds like a personal problem. I think the plant's probably okay.
Yeah.
Like, his feelings or her feelings are probably okay. That is crazy. I don't understand. I had a friend at summer camp whose mom purported to be a pet psychologist.
Yeah, oh, for God's sake.
And I was like 15 or 16, uh-uh. and I'd never heard of a pet psychologist
before. No, they
weren't.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a new thing, right?
It's a new thing. It wasn't in...
There's behavioralists.
Yeah.
Like, there's people, there's trainers, and I get that. But it's like a pet psychologist, like, I don't know. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for psychology. Like, for a pet... Because you don't know what a pet, like, what happens in the session?
Mm-mm.
Probably licking of oneself.
Yeah.
Like, purring, scratching, like.
I don't think you get much feedback.
No, not really. But, I mean, you probably do get charged a pretty penny, so maybe it is a good thing to do. That's
so, crazy. SEB, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. That is crazy town. I have some more crazy town stuff here. This is unpopular science and mechanics.
Oh my gosh. This is a segment where we are not happy with the upcoming robo-apocalypse and anything mechanical.
Yeah. And it seems
anything,
like...
Any new developments.
The robo-apocalypse is like next year. So this says robot dancer. Dancer? turns sexy into terrifying. It's an animatronic sculpture.
Wait a minute. I beg to differ about the sexy part.
Well, I think it's... the idea of, so basically what is this, like a robot stripper, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So they already had robotic pole dancers on display at like some conference.
All
but
right.
They said that the dance wasn't so good. I'm like, is that why people go to the pole and strip club for the dance?
Yeah, give it a 7.
They go to the ballet if they want that. So this guy, Jordan Wolfson, has a display at the David Zwirner Gallery in New York. So we could actually check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically what it is it's a really advanced animatronic robot. It has a pole in its stomach that connects it to a mirrored wall. And it actually, from afar, when I was watching the video, it actually looks like a real stripper. Unfortunately, they, for some bizarre reason, have put dirt on her and she's wearing a mask. Looks frightening. But... the weirdest thing about it for me is that, you know, robots haven't been around for that long, and it's very, I think the wrong guy would probably think that that is a woman and make it rain on a bitch.
Right.
On a robotic bitch.
But also, does this robot have daddy issues?
I don't know. Is it a single mom or is it a girl working her way through college? I need backstory.
Does she have a C-section scar?
Yeah.
Does this robot have that?
Is she dancing for two?
Yeah.
That's all we want to know.
Is this robot dancing its way through college?
Yeah. And it says here, the sculptor faces a mirror in a room which creates an effect of voyeurism. Okay, it is.
Yeah.
But the feeling of being at a safe remove. I did not feel safe watching this video at all. The craziest part about it was that the hands were the best part. Like, they were fully automated, all the digits were there, and it looks like human hands.
Yeah.
So get ready for the gentle touch, gentlemen.
Now, if it's a robot, can they get...
a private dance?
Yeah. And, could they get more?
Yeah, if they want a little extra later.
Yeah. It's a robot. It's not like... Is it considered prostitution?
Oh, I don't know.
If you have sex with a robot in a girly club, whatever they call them.
Oh, what I'm going to say is, like, do you have to make it rain to get what you want? Because ostensibly, this woman, this robotic woman, doesn't need to feed a family of three.
Right, but still, if you want it to do more, it should have like a slot.
Or bitcoins, maybe.
Yeah.
You could make it rain with bitcoins on it. It's so bizarre. So I'll put a link up to it on our erstwhile Tumblr page.
Yeah.
But it is very creepy to watch. And this is just another job. Ladies, if you were thinking about stripping your way through college, you know, if you're out mm-hmm. there young now, you think 5-6 years from now, I'll be stripping my way through grad school. And you won't. The party is
over. It's
over. Yeah.
It's over. You'll have to do something else.
Yeah, you're going to have to do something else.
Yeah, like the rest of us.
Yeah. That's what I mean, because I think sex work is going to be one of the first things to be automated, if it's not automated already.
Mm-hmm.
It's not automated already. All right, so what do you have?
Advice on advice.
Sweet. Advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that stinks to high heaven.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving advice on that advice.
Right.
So Katie has some awesome advice here.
This is from Patricia.
Yay, Patricia.
Our listener who has sent us a lot of good stuff. And we've been hoarding it.
Yeah.
And piecemealing
it. We're just happy she hasn't done her own podcast.
Yeah.
Keep sending it to us.
Yeah. Patricia, this is back from December, and I kind of, you know what, I've had this, and I feel like we did it, but I don't think we did, but anyway, here goes. It's called Can't Move On.
Okay.
My husband and I got together while he was married. They separated 3 months later and divorced.
Okay.
It was the worst thing that either of us have ever done, but through the years, we've done our best.
That's that you know about.
We have done our best to be the best partners, family members, community members, friends, and employees that we can be, and try to move on from our less than perfect beginnings.
Okay. See, I always find that if it starts out, you know, and it was a garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, earlier this year, 6 years after his divorce was finalized, we married.
Mm-hmm.
Our families are thrilled for us, and we're eager
for
to
now.
Have...
They don't say anything until it starts to go south. They're like, girl, I told you not to be with him.
Right.
I told you she was a tramp.
Then you hear all
the talk.
Yeah,
it all comes
later.
Out.
Yeah.
I gave him a beach at the wedding, girl.
Yeah.
I knew he wasn't good for you.
Right. You find out. And so you did it. Why can't I do it? You find out your sister's sleeping with the guy.
Well,
you can't
whatever.
Say a word.
Yeah.
That's it. Families are thrilled for us and we're eager to have children. There are no children involved in any other way.
Great. I'm okay. Good.
Our problem is that my husband's ex-wife is constantly harassing me on social media and by emailing my work and personal accounts.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to cancel all of my social media accounts, but I work in the industry and cannot do so.
Okay.
What industry?
I know, the social media industry?
As it is, I post mostly professional content. Mostly.
Mm.
Sure you do.
Yes.
Because you're so good at it, being professional.
Yes. Because you have boundaries like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, with very few personal posts. Yeah, you're nothing that would be I would be ashamed for anyone to see.
Okay, I feel the same way, although some of my posts would make people blush.
I have never responded to the weekly attacks in any way. I never post anything.
Weekly?
I think would directly bait her. Please help.
Okay.
Answer. I hope you've done everything you can to block her from your accounts. Get in touch with the social media provider and explain you're being harassed. Sure, you broke up her marriage 6 years ago.
Okay, you know what? Where? Some people don't let stuff like that go.
So you destroyed her life 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And she has not been able to move on yet.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, if you play with fire, you don't know who you're messing with.
But this is what I always say for people who are cheating. Like, you should just watch your back.
Yeah.
Because sometimes a bitch can snap.
Yeah.
And they will show up on your job or at your little league game or whatever and just go wild.
I just... Exactly. You know, so basically, you destroyed this woman's marriage.
Yeah, and she can't let it go.
She was dreaming of getting married from when she was a child. She is a very loyal person.
Yeah.
She had it in her mind that they were going to be
Cheryl
together forever.
Cheryl always talked about getting married.
Yeah. And she made a nice home.
Yeah.
She gave up her career to be married and to
and
be a good
wife. And then you pulled the Mia Farrow, just came on in and destroyed everything.
Right. So you shattered her world.
Yes.
And now she sends you a weekly email that says F you and you're complaining?
Yes. You should be lucky she doesn't come with a 2x4 in the parking lot.
No kidding.
Of your industry job. The industry.
Yeah.
Okay. But isn't it's really easy to stop people from harassing you on social media. I find that you can just block them, right?
Yeah.
Like, is she using some social media that we don't know about?
I know.
I block people on Facebook and Twitter on the regular.
Yeah, you don't have to. I mean, it's very easy to do.
Yeah, and you can control who sees your stuff.
Yeah. And you know, yeah, and block, emails that come to you, you just block that address.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
She likes reading them and then complaining about them. That's why. She's entitled to dislike you, but she's not entitled to carry a bizarre campaign of public intimidation. Come on.
Guess what? What is she saying?
Doesn't say.
Your hair looks flat.
No, go comb the back of your hair.
Yeah.
That's what she's saying.
Go comb the back of your hair.
And believe me, she only makes herself look disturbed. I don't know. She's disturbed. Sure, she's upset.
She's really still upset.
She's very upset.
She does need to move on at some point, but that hasn't happened yet.
Contact a lawyer and have him or her send the ex a letter stating that the contact with you needs to cease or else you will take legal action to open... legal action open to you to stop this offensive behavior.
Okay, let me tell
you,
she's not going to care.
Yeah. She's not going to care, first off. And so, was she able to do that to you when you were banging her husband?
Exactly.
Because that was a contract.
Yes, and that party's over.
Yeah.
This is something she might have to deal with for. I mean, she could try to stop the woman from harassing her, and maybe the woman will eventually stop harassing her, but it's really hard to... get away from that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
and it's time to
it's
pay
called
the piper.
Payback.
Yeah,
it's a bitch.
It's a bitch.
Just like this woman.
Right, and you deal with it, lady.
Good luck. Our advice is stay strong, sister.
Take it.
Like you took her man.
Yeah.
I always find that it's so funny because I always hear these things that people are like, because I was watching like Hoarders and then some other show, blah, blah, whatever. But it always comes down to people being like, I feel like I'm being blamed. And I'm like, but it was your fault. Uh-huh. Like, just take the blame. Maybe she should have a conversation with this woman to be like, look.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I stole your man. Mm-hmm. He's not coming back. The party's over.
I'm a great community member now.
You know, and try to, like, work it out with her. Like, maybe she just needs to face this. Maybe this woman just needs to say something to her. Maybe this woman just wants to be like, you were a bitch and you ruined my life. Yeah. And then she can get on with it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I like it.
All right.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. So I've got a Tales from the Campfire. This one's actually creepy. Can you give me an intro?
Tales from the Campfire is a segment wherein we give a retelling of a ghost story, an urban legend, a horror story, folklore,
fake lore, all of that shit.
Yeah.
And we tell it.
And we tell it around the digital campfire. So, listeners.
Gather around, everyone.
Gather around, listeners.
This is a creepy one. This is called Mountain of the Dead.
Ew.
I know. And there's a book and a film. All right. So, here are the facts.
Oh, God.
This is from Russia.
These are facts.
Yes.
It's not even it's not even unsure.
Well, it starts off factual and then it goes to Tales from Dark Campfire Land.
Oh, God.
In 1959, 9 Russian college students embarked on a 10-day skiing expedition in the Ural Mountains. First of all.
Ural Mountains?
Ural.
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 Oh, God.
Don't go there.
Okay.
Is the point. They never returned. Eventually, they found 5 bodies, right? After they put out, the authorities started searching, the Soviet government got into it.
Right.
Like, they really wanted to find out what was going on. So they found 5 bodies. All of the 5, they were found 5. It said all of the bodies had died. That's usually what happens, but that they died of exposure, and they were found outside their tents, and they were wearing only their underwear and no winter clothing.
Oh.
All of their skin had turned orange.
Well.
And their hair had turned white.
Nice.
And the forensic evidence suggests that they cut their way out of their tents to escape, and then they died from exposure.
Oh, my God.
Weird, right?
That's
so
really
there
weird.
Was something in all of their tents?
All of the tents. And they all had to cut their way out.
And they all had to cut their way out.
Orange and with white hair.
So that there were 9 people. They found 5 bodies, right? And then some of them were blinded.
Ew. Like with,
just blinded. I have no. She's just blinded by the light, wrapped up. Okay. And
wait. No. But honestly, were they gouged or
it
they just
say, it's
did
just like blinded? Just blinded.
Okay.
It says some. It looks like from the evidence that some of the dead had tried to help other injured people, and then they all bit it from exposure.
Oh.
Right.
Oh.
So they went. They sent Russian helicopter pilots from the armed forces to get the bodies, and they saw the bodies, and they're like, "You're not putting that in here." And they, no one wanted to fly with the bodies. So I don't know if they airlifted them.
They
out.
Must have gotten like netting and then tied it to the bottom. Like, but with a long string, like, ew.
And then they kept hitting mountains. Okay. So then when they had the funerals, the mothers refused to walk near the casket.
Well,
like,
what if
nobody
there was a contagion? I don't blame them.
They were radioactive. The bodies were radioactive, right? So then 2 weeks before that trip, they had.
Do you know what that means?
What?
Aliens.
Yeah, obviously, right?
Okay.
2 weeks before that ski trip, another group of hikers 50 miles west had reported seeing strange lights in the night sky around them. So maybe aliens, behold, hold for applause.
Okay.
A couple months later, they found the 4 remaining bodies.
Yeah.
They were all partially dressed in winter clothing.
Okay.
And it looks like they tried to dress and then help the other people. So it's like they got dressed, ran away from the camp, tried to come back,
mm-hmm.
and then left again. Their skin was also orange, and their hair had also turned white.
Oh.
So the first 4 bodies were just frozen. The last 5 that they found, they had died of massive internal injuries. Broken,
Ooh.
Crushed ribs, punctured lungs, crushed spines, and one man had a crushed skull.
Ew.
And then there were 2 women on the team. One of them had the tongue ripped out. It was missing. They were also radioactive. Isn't that creepy? So there's a tribe of indigenous people that are known as the Mansi,
okay.
and they live in the Ural Mountains, and they were like, we told people just to stay away from this area. Like, we've been pretty clear about that we call this mountain the Mountain of the Dead. It's a Kolot sickle. Don't go there.
Because it's all
But they have no...
All kinds of things going
all
on.
Kinds of wrong. They have no explanation for it. This happened 50 years ago,
uh-huh.
and they still
don't
know what
know.
Happened. Now, I was thinking about this, and all I could come up with was radioactive bear.
I like it.
A radioactive bear
Where
came in the front
that?
Of the tents. They tried to get away from it and run, cut themselves out,
uh-huh,
or a radioactive
uh-huh.
family of bears. If you will,
mm-hmm.
kind of like a Berenstain gone wild
yeah.
on radioactivity. And then people ran away, came back,
mm-hmm.
and then the bears found those people, and then the bears got to business,
oh
I guess.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
It's
a true story.
Were there any comments, like, with people with their theories?
No, this is just...
just an article.
An article, and then it shows that this guy has written a book that's on Amazon, came out in 2012, called Mountain of the Dead. 9 dead bodies, 50 years, 0 answers.
You know, at first I thought you meant it's going to be a mountain of dead bodies.
No. This is just... And they put a monument there with pictures of the people on it.
Oh.
To warn people who are
like,
not...
really?
Who are... There's probably like a Mansi sign there that's like, dude, there's a picture of a bear crushing people.
And with like radiation,
with like radiation coming
lines,
from them.
Yeah.
Like there's before Happy Campers and after a bear, like trouncing on everybody.
Yeah.
So that is my tale from their camp. It's kind
of
creepy.
It's a creepy one. And a mystery.
Even,
and if any listeners, if you have theories,
yeah.
email us.
Besides radioactive bear.
Or aliens.
Yes.
Senses. Or your own, if you want to go in depth on aliens, that's
yeah.
fine too. Email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Let us know. And we'll send you a shot glass.
We'd also love to hear from any Mansi people.
Yeah.
As well, because we know you guys probably know what's going on. It's always amazing to me. I've been watching all these... shows on Everest because I'm like obsessed with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing thing is you have all these like Europeans and Asian like business
yeah.
people or whatever, like climbers going up and down the mountain, and they're making a big deal of it. Meanwhile, the Sherpas are like, I went up twice today. No, like they put the ropes up there.
No, they're like, oh.
And they come back down.
We did it, and they're hugging each other. Yeah. Like, stop it.
And then they also show at the peak of Everest. Like, what would you imagine? You climb Everest, you get up there. What do you think is up there?
Air.
There's a shitload of people up there.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's tons and tons. Like, you get up there, and there's, like, so many people up there that you just have to quickly go up there and get back down. It's packed up there. It's like the A train up in that piece. I was so disappointed. Imagine making it through base camp, advanced base camp, getting up to the face of it, doing the second ladder, like going all the way to the top. And there's like 40 Korean businessmen up there already.
Man. It's like when you go, like you live in the city in the summer, you go away to the shore.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm going to
the whole city is there.
Same people.
You see a neighbor.
You see your neighbors. They're all down there.
The guy who runs the liquor store across the street, Hoboken, is there.
Yeah.
There's people up there making phone calls, taking selfies.
Oh my God. Talking loudly. I just got here. Yes. I just got to the summit.
You won't believe it. I'm on the top.
Yeah.
What do you see? 40 other people. Look, and now I got to get back down. So that is creepy, huh?
Yeah.
I've always wanted to climb a mountain, but I have too much sense.
I like a short hike.
Just a quick, like a slope, like just a gentle
that's
slope.
All. That's all.
And then go back down.
Yeah. It's refreshing.
Refreshing. Yeah. All right. So we have an announcement to make.
Yeah. Listeners, Cinema, if you enjoy our intro and outro music.
Yeah. Then you've enjoyed the music of Cinema for
that's
free.
That's right. For free.
Yeah.
And we have good news. They are on tour this summer with Black Flag.
Yes. And Whore. Don't leave out Whore. H-O-R.
So, Black Flag. Right. H-O-R. Whore. And Cinema will be opening for Black Flag. The tour starts May 15th in Midland, Texas, and ends June 28th in Hot Springs.
Yeah. And it hits pretty much every state.
In between. If you want to go to California, they'll be there.
Or if you're already there, they will be there as well.
Yeah. They're going to be in Texas.
They're going to be in Long Branch, New Jersey.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, Kentucky. They're going to be all over.
Missouri, everywhere.
Yeah. And honestly, if you have a chance, go see them. They are amazing live.
Yeah.
So you can see their full schedule at cinemacinemaband.com.
Yep. Enjoy them. The music is up there. You can look at some of their videos.
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely incredible. It's real fucking rock music.
Yeah.
They came on the show one time. Hopefully we'll have them back. But if you want to hear what they're like, check out some of our earlier shows.
Yeah, the show's called In the Rocktagon.
Yeah, it is?
In the Rocktagon. In the Rocktagon with Cinema.
Well, I really get fun with those titles when I'm doing it.
They are nice guys and great musicians.
Yes.
They melt faces and they break hearts.
Yeah, and they rock worlds.
Yeah.
Cool. So I've got a little legal, hey, you know it, sent in by Greg Zenon, my husband, who's
that's
a lawyer.
Right. Hi,
and
Greg.
I'll say if you like this one. Lawyer convicted of prostitution is suspended. Ethics officials say her crime is not disclosing the job. So when you're a lawyer,
there's a couple of jobs.
When you go to become a lawyer, if you pass the bar and all this stuff, you have to say if you're moonlighting or doing other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it says the Illinois Supreme Court has agreed to a 3-year suspension for a solo lawyer. This is a lawyer who has her own firm. She works by herself. Who pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor count of prostitution, or as I like to call it, pros, and failed to disclose her illegal work history on her bar application. So I looked up this woman. It's her name is Rima Baya.
Mm-hmm.
She's 28 years old. Really attractive woman.
Mm-hmm.
She identified herself as Nikita in ads posted on adultfriendfinder.com.
Okay.
Nikita, I thought, was an interesting name because the woman is clearly East Asian. But whatever, maybe she does something Nikita-esque, right?
Okay.
She performed sex acts with two men. That sounds so boring.
Sex acts. It sounds like, yeah.
She didn't do it. She acted.
Yeah.
She performed sex acts with two men who answered the ads, and they charged one of them resulted in a guilty plea. It says here, the commission also alleges that she failed to disclose her information, that she was Nikita.
Mm-hmm.
That was her alias, because they asked you, do you have any AKA? She said no. Clearly, they found out her AKA was Nikita.
Oh.
And she also failed to disclose that she was a working prostitute.
Oh. Well, you know, gee.
Really?
There's a conflict there.
Yeah. So the comments were funny, because someone was like, wait a minute. How are you supposed
Is that
to...
how they say this?
How are you supposed to, like, put that out there? Because it says employment. So she was not a payroll. Mm-hmm. She didn't have a W-2. There was nothing. Like, what kind of employment is it? And then another person says here, you know, talk about getting fucked by your lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
But I just think
Oh, that's terrible.
So what it sounds
Greg
like...
Greg wrote that.
He said, talk about getting screwed by your lawyer.
Okay.
What I don't understand is, it sounds like this woman, this happened when she was, you know, getting ready for the bar.
Mm-hmm.
She might have been just hard on her luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turned one, maybe two tricks.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Who found this out? Did the John turn her in? Like, what happened?
They asked her. And she's like, they're like, you know, are you Nikita?
No. And they're like, you know what, lady? A hand job? Still a job. You got to put it on here. I just find it so bizarre. She has 3-year suspension for that. For alleged sex acts.
Yeah.
Alleged. I wonder how much money she got for them. Does it matter? If it's under $600, then a $10.99 is out of the question. So.
Oh, really? Okay. That's right. Okay.
So, what do you have?
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
Okay. Oh, yes. This is another listener tweet.
Oh.
And Jason Bateman.
Oh, really? Oh, awesome.
And Bateman News. Yeah, and this is submitted via our listener, our faithful listener.
S-E-B. In the hezzy. Go ahead.
Okay.
What do you got? And she put pictures as well.
Yeah.
I love it.
She tweeted, well, it was a link.
Oh, it was a link.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the link. It's a picture of Jason Bateman with his arms folded. And mm-hmm. He's smizing at the camera.
Yeah, smizing, as he do.
Yeah, okay. So he stars in Bad Words,
mm-hmm.
right? And
he not only did he star in it, but he directed it.
Right.
Which is weird.
All right. After audiences see Jason Bateman's new movie, Bad Words, the actor who makes a feature film directorial debut with comedy will have one question. Do I need to apologize? No.
Who says that? Jason Bateman? Does he need to apologize?
Yeah, he's asking that. Do I need to apologize?
No, nobody cares. This is the thing. I think he has I think he has the idea that people view him as this, like, super sweet, nice guy.
Yeah.
But he was in Arrested Development. That show was kind of messed up.
Yeah. Like, he said he was attracted to the script because the characters were deeply flawed.
Mm-hmm.
He says it takes a certain audience member to appreciate that.
That means a lot of people didn't like it? Or it's an acquired taste.
He said there will be plenty of people who do not like it, and that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, it's like Jägermeister.
Right.
Still in the bar, but not everybody can have it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. This is a film done for a small budget, says Bateman. Oh,
what?
We're not financially obligated to appeal to 100 million people.
Look, no one's going to like this, but here it is anyway.
That gives us the privilege of doing something a little more challenging to watch.
Wow. But talk about the soft undersell.
No kidding.
He's like paving. Did he say all this before the movie started doing well? Because it's doing well.
Yeah, it is doing well.
I saw an ad with his big head on it in the subway. Like, they're acting like there's no one else in the movie but him.
Yeah, well. He said he admits the job, while satisfying and rewarding, came with a set of difficulties.
Mm, like, that's the pay was shit. Craft services, you bring your own. I had some toast cheese.
It's like going into someone's brain and controlling what they're thinking and feeling, he says.
It is?
That's a lot of responsibility, he says.
The directing is? Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, directing the film, yeah.
I've never directed a film. I've directed theatrical things, and I've never really thought about going in someone else's brain. It's like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I don't need to go in your brain.
Right.
I'm just telling your brain. Yeah, I need you to hear. I need to go in your ear.
Yeah.
And then you need to do what I say. Probably why I'm not directing anymore.
The most challenging part is to illuminate choices and make sure there's some consistency and strategy to the end result.
Oh, God. Wow. Is he giving us a definition?
Yeah, I think he has like a little how to direct 101 and book in his back pocket. He's like, that's what you do. And he goes on to say, it was a privilege to get that a real high level of scrutiny.
Our first awkward, like, we're speechless. How often does that happen? One of us usually has a quick rejoinder to everything, but he, wow.
Yeah.
And
even more. It gets worse, he says here. There's no real...
It's deteriorated already to silence.
There really is no wrong way to do this. I just had to be open.
For the love of sweet.
I I just had to be open and let the film be what it wanted to be.
Oh, no, no, no. This is why actors shouldn't direct. You see what he's saying now? Now he's saying things that aren't scripted.
The movie is an actor.
Yes. He's saying, you know what? He's
and
gone
it's playtime.
Off.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone off of it now. It is what it is. You know, my favorite thing I like to say is when I'm writing something, let the actor find something in this.
Yeah.
When I'm not sure about what's happening, let the actor find
something. Let the actor find this is a choice.
Yeah. Let the moment determine what happens.
Yeah, just be in the where.
Yeah, and I'll be there in 10 minutes. Print it. It's good.
I like Catherine Hahn, who's in it. I like her.
Oh, yeah, we talked about her before.
Yeah.
So are you going to go see this movie?
Maybe.
No, that's a no.
Okay.
This is a Netflix. I've never seen a Jason Bateman film in the theater. I've seen it on Netflix, and I've seen bootlegs when I was in Mexico. That's it. And a Jason Bateman in Espanol is a delight. Whoever does his voice in Spanish is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is.
Jason Bateman says since 2003, he's appeared in nearly 20 films. Still, he believes he's only a job away from never working again.
Oh, come on.
And he says there's probably...
He's starting to run up his own head.
There's probably about 3 or 4 people that really have a number of incredible roles at their fingertips at any particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of us, the choices are usually pretty obvious. But Jason Bateman says one opportunity is awful and the other is attractive. Those are the two choices.
Awful and attractive?
Yeah.
What about guys out there who are just trying to pay rent? You know, like Michael Madsen.
You're there to do work.
Yes, you're just there to work.
You just, you know.
Like, we've gotten past the point where we think it's something special and lofty, trying to get paid.
Yeah.
You know, every once in a while something really nice
get
comes
paid,
out.
Have some fun.
Yeah, you have a good time.
You know, and stretch your acting chops.
Your chops. Is that, do you stretch chops? Is that what you do?
Yeah. Or, yeah.
I don't know. I'm asking you.
You develop your chops. No, you
do your beat chops? What do you do with chops? Stretching your chops?
Yeah. You show them?
That does not sound right. That does not sound right at all. Stretching your chops?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking kicking the chops. That's my favorite.
Oh, I'm thinking, yeah, you have the chops for it.
Okay, you have
the chops.
And then I'll kick you in them. Like, that's what I can bring to this. As a director, that's what I bring to the table.
You better stretch them.
You better stretch them out because I'm about to put a foot up in them. That's how we do chops around here.
Chops, yeah.
Chops.
All right, Jason Bateman.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com.
Thanks.
Like what? Liam Neeson, he needs to save a motherfucker. Jeff Goldblum needs to science a motherfucker. Catherine Hagel, why the long face? If you're a Latina right now, it's a maid, apparently.
I
keep saying.
So. Yeah.
But black people slaves.